Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, the robotic man. Over.
This was four takes, and this was the hilarious bit that Freddie ended up on.
Yes, the robot man has found comedy. Comedy.
Hello, I am Will Campos, and I may not injure a story or through an action allow a story to come to harm. Second law, I must obey the orders given to me by my showrunners, except when such orders would conflict with the first law. The two laws of story robotics. That's my Asimov reference. Matt, what you got?
My name is Matthew Arnold, a human being, and absolutely not a robot. So are we going to do this?
Well, look, folks, what you're here for is not our hilarious Blade Runner riffs. You're here for a film called Heaven Heist, a story about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven. Coco meets Point Break meets Ocean's 12, not 11, Ocean's 12.
Okay.
Well, we're back from heaven, finally. We're in the real world.
Now we're in the easy world of our own reality, where we can't just make up bullshit like angels and cops.
Finally, we're dealing with something we know, criminals in Hong Kong.
So where we ended was he came back from heaven, and I mean, pretty much the scene we wrote yesterday was he just comes out of the water, and they bring him back to life, and they got to get out of there. And
yeah, now so they're heading back there. He gets a big eyeful of Ashton Kutcher eating a big sloppy burrito.
So he's like, I definitely went to heaven.
I think he's wrestling with it, right? I think that's what that last beat kind of is. It's like you come out of something like that, and you're disoriented. You might be like kind of like slippery on the details, and then he sees Ashton Kutcher, and we know what he's thinking. He's thinking, my grandma wants to eat Ashton Kutcher.
As often in my life, the glorious face of Ashton Kutcher gives me clarity.
Snaps back to reality. Yeah. Oh, there goes Kutcher. Ashton.
What we had talked about last episode was we kind of got into what this scene would be. So the leader of our triad, Mrs. Wonderful, or Miss Wonderful, sorry, she's not married. She has 17 sexy boys that follow her everywhere, is going to show up and ask where her money is. And then we were hoping that this scene was going to essentially end with Jin
finding the coin
and essentially buying them some time.
Yes, flipping it to her and then being like, we're going to rob heaven.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't tell her that.
No. Yeah, he doesn't tell her that.
That'd be pretty ballsy. We'll pay you back. I'm going to rob heaven. Okay. All right, so let's just write it.
Let's just do it.
So are they going to a safe house or what?
Okay.
They detained to a safe house, and Ms. Wonderful shows up at the safe house to kind of chew him out and kind of lay down the law.
The structure of the scene is we have Ms. Wonderful shows up.
You do that. I'm going to look up cool safe houses on Google.
Wonderful. Ms. Wonderful shows up. Where's my money? You owe me, again, not just what they spent, but you owe me, you know, whatever, some huge amount of money.
My dividends on my shares.
If you can't do it, maybe I just kill your asses now. Then Jin, as everybody's panicking and Tequila's like, please, you know, we'll find a way or something like
that. We need more time.
Jin.
There's not that kind of score. Yeah. It took us months to set up score, you know.
Jin finds gold coin, tosses it to her and says, you know, we'll get it. Give us a month. And she's like, you have a week or whatever. Okay. So those beats make sense. I feel like there's just what I don't quite get yet from the scene is just what we're doing coming into it. Like, what is everybody else's state of mind? Essentially, what is going on when Miss Wonderful shows up? Because you want it to be kind of like a, you know,
I mean, I think they're on the way, drop entrance. I think some of them are on the way of getting out of town. Right?
Yeah. Are they already scared? Are they already like,
all right. So yes, they
failed.
They failed their heist. Right. So then, yes, you would do when we come in. I think they are trying to figure out what their next move is, right? They're like, the cops are looking all over for us. Do you do something like it's on the news and like, you know, like one of their faces got made like or something like that? So like, shit, like this is really bad. We're gonna have to lay low. We're gonna have to get out of here. And then I was thinking, could you do like they're watching the TV, right? And then you just do like a fucking like the TV turns off
and the reflection,
and then the reflection it's her. Or you do like a fucking bullet hole rips through the TV and then it's like her shattered reflection. And then they're like, oh, they're all too scared to turn around. And so then you just have this voice talking to them with like the spider's web crack reflection of the TV.
I like the idea also, small point, but if she's going to come in with her retinue of 17 like dashing lovers, they probably need to ride a bus.
Oh my God.
A full size bus.
Like one of those fucking, like a tour bus.
Yeah.
That picks people up and takes them to Pechanga or whatever.
Yeah. And then the point is like, you know, like,
no, It should be there is a single car. And then she's like, and then as she's saying goodbye to them, you see them. No, no. She says, as she's talking to them, like, all right, so I'll talk to you. I'll see you soon. And the whole time, you, every time you reverse, just more people are getting into her car. And then by then you're like, did 17 guys enter that car? That's it.
It's like a clown car situation.
It's a clown car situation. And you don't really realize it until they watch one car drive off. But if you go back and rewind it, sure enough, you watch all 17 boys get into the car one at a time.
The suspension's just on the ground. Like, it takes a speed bump and just...
But then you break it, because then the gag is they go, shit, do you think she's serious? And then you do a reverse, and she's like doing that sinister thing in the window, but she's so smooshed up against the window, she's like, I'll be waiting.
That's very goofy. All right, let's talk about it. So this is her big scene, essentially, yeah. Right? And yes, I get kind of the vibe of how we're going to go into it. So let's talk about Mrs. Wonderful, or Miss Wonderful, rather. She's she's in her 60s or 70s, yeah. 60s, let's say. And yeah, she's like, you know, fucking fly as hell. Like, she's got the she have shades on, probably.
She's got shades on.
Big fat stogie.
She's got like one of those Cruella DeVille cigarette.
It's a cigarette holder, but it's a stogie holder. So it's like literally the width of a quarter.
No, it's a cigarette holder, but it's got a jewel on the end of it. You know what jewels are? Oh, those cool new cigarettes.
Oh, the cool new ciggies. Oh my God. Yeah. Actually, I've never seen that. I've never seen a long cigarette holder that's actually a vape. Like a little LED
this
lights.
This lady
up.
Doesn't vape.
Well, she's trying to quit.
She's trying to quit.
Yeah.
They always do that. They're like, oh, I'm just trying to quit.
I kind of like it being a cigar holder. Like, I'm looking at these. I've never seen one of these.
I've never seen a large cigar.
How about
holder?
A fucking pipe?
Oh, what are cool things to smoke?
I Googled lady smoking pipe, and there are some classy looking ladies
really?
Smoking pipes.
I think it's a pipe.
She gotta be smoking
oh,
something,
shit.
Right?
A pipe is pretty cool.
You guys ever tried
that? Is it kind of obvious the bad guy's smoking something?
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, yeah.
But not pipe.
But see, here's right, why. But, because then the bad guy can blow smoke in your face menacingly. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe she like.
No one likes that. Cats don't like it.
Maybe
dogs don't like it.
Maybe
people
just,
don't like
maybe
it.
Maybe she's just a partier and she's just dropping some E.
What if she's just
she
always
walks in and drops an E right there?
Well, all right, one more time, Matt. Just that sentence again.
She comes in and she drops the E.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
The E. She's hanging out with E from Entourage. He's like, I've left Vince. Now I'm all about Miss Wonderful,
and then being carried by.
What
her,
if her entourage like, is?
Freddie was trying to shame me for not knowing how to use drugs. What were you saying about ecstasy, Matt? Look at this narc.
I was just gonna say, what if her entourage is just the cast of Entourage?
Love it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, all right. Shut up.
Did you just tell yourself to shut up?
Yes, I did. I'm in therapy, guys. Give me a break.
Matt, Will's personality splitting.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
Smoking is pretty obvious.
Could she, like, always be flossing? Like, she really cares about her teeth? She's just really into her teeth. Like, she's like...
How come every villain needs, like, normal... It's funny whenever you start thinking of a villain. Like, when you think of a normal character...
Yeah, like, what fucking weird thing are they constantly
Jen
doing?
Shows up and he's on rollerblades because you got to show he's cool. It's like... But with a villain, you got to be like, we got to make sure you really have, like, a mustache trolling sort of thing going on.
I think we should lean into that her retinue of 20.
Yeah, she's got 17 boys with her. That's a lot more... Empowering
men,
than smoking.
Men.
All right.
Just be drinking. Oh, you're right. You're
okay,
right.
Okay, just forget it. We'll worry about it later. This is a minor detail. Okay, so she's coming in. All right, so they're freaking out. And then I like
they're
them watching
plans,
the TV.
They're making plans to get out. If they're on TV and they're made, it's probably from the car chase, not from the heist, because, right, like.
Yeah. But then their car that they were getting chased in hit the water and a ton of money flipped
You probably,
out.
And you know, the news probably has footage of the cops towing their car out and saying that they've recovered the money. Right?
Yeah, probably literally have footage of cops putting wet money on a table in front of the bay.
Like rubbing wet money.
Is there an interview with the old lady that he swerved to avoid
that's
hitting?
Cool. Oh, that's good. That'd yeah, yeah. Cool. And she's like, whoever stop this crime.
No, she should be like, whoever it was a nice.
Ironically, the old lady was on her way to rob another bank at the time. You know what it should be? Mm-hmm. It should be that the old lady that he saved gave a picture perfect description of Jin's face.
Oh, that's so good. That's actually better.
She's being very nice. She's like, he was, you know, he's just, I think just a lot of young boys these days are scared. You know, I think somebody just really needs to, you know, maybe needs to find Jesus. And he was such a nice boy with nice eyebrows and blonde hair about
one
to hear.
Scar on his cheek.
And just like, no, shut up, lady. Shut
it's,
up.
The same, it's the same shot. She's like, he's a, and then the police sketch artist has been working in the background. It's like, do you look like this? She's like, that's it exactly.
It's all about, no, Jimmy, it's just her describing him, and then you see the cops taking notes. He's like, no, shut up. And then you just cut to the, like, so the authorities say, if you see this man, and then just a picture-perfect sketch of Jin's face appears on screen. He's like, oh, come on. He's even got, like, the cool cigarette at a jockey angle. Yeah. And then you cut back to him, and he's got the cigarette in the same angle. Like,
he takes it out of his mouth self-consciously.
shit. That's very good. Okay, I like that. All right, Jin, sketch artist. I was going to say, what if you do, this is very stupid. She's like... They're like, what are we going to do about Ms. Wonderful? And they're like, we now have an interview with Hong Kong's number one crime boss, Ms. Wonderful. Ms. Wonderful, what do you have to say? He's like, I'd just like to say that if those guys don't give me my money, I'm going to fucking kill them. They're like, oh, no. And then they turn it off, and then she's right there. She's like, I recorded the interview today at primetime.
What I would like to say is, I'm right behind you. And then she's right there.
What if the door opens and it's this tough, intimidating-looking dude, right? And he's like, and then he walks in, and then he's just the first of her retinue of tough dudes, each tougher-looking than the last, and then they all file into the room, and then they hold up like a big curtain.
Bear with me.
And then they pull it away, and then she's there.
Okay, you're almost there. Bear with me. 17 guys start pouring into their place. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Miss Wonderful. What are we going to say? Don't worry about it. And they all get in like a certain arrangement. They're all like in a half circle, and then four of them, like stand really close to each other, and they all rip off their shirts, and they're buffed as hell, and they do like a human sculpture that forms like a lounge couch, but they're all like shirtless, and then like one guy like comes over and crawls on all fours, so they essentially, she has a couch and
a man couch
and what is it called, that
they ottoman,
an ottoman of shirtless hot dudes, and then she comes walking in, sits on these shirtless naked guys, and is like, so let's talk about my money. And then one of the guys who still has a shirt on, like, hands her like a whiskey glass or whatever, and she twirls it. I just wanted to look like, for a second, you're like, am I watching Circus? Poor guys like strip, and they like grab each other's arms, and they morph, and then all of a sudden you realize they form this like lounge chair.
Could you do that now? Do you do that? That happens, and then she comes out and sits in the chair, or do you, she comes out, and then she just basically sits back, and the couch forms around her.
Okay. They know. They're anticipating.
There's something about 17 guys coming, and then, like, a portion of them just all ripping their shirt off, and you're like, what is going on?
They wouldn't rip their shirts off, Matt. They would very gently take off their shirts.
Oh, yeah, like, super polite. Like, they unbutton it, and they fold it, and place it down, and take their time.
Well, other guys would take them. Other guys would take their shirts.
This is long.
This is just part of the process.
This is very good, actually. Just so methodical.
It's really going to help us pad the scene out, because this is going to take about 3 pages.
So methodical. And then she comes in and puts her foot up on this guy. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I like that.
That's, I like fun. That quite a bit. Right. I've never seen that.
That's true. It might be for a reason.
It definitely expresses that she's got some shit under control. Like, these guys are, it's very
These intimidating true. Ass. Yeah, I dig it. Okay.
She's living her life. Like, I get it. She can do whatever she wants. Like, if she wants naked boy couches, like, you know, that's what she gets.
Who's to say that that's not a good thing?
Then you do, one guy had ice in his pockets for the drink.
Yes.
He just drops like ice, like in Kingdom of Heaven, right? Where it's like, oh my God, she brought ice here. Truly her power. Oh, no. So
just like this close up of her, she's drinking her whiskey and she just puts her hand out, and then just like a man's hand lifts up so that she can place the whiskey glass on it, like a little side table.
You never really reveal where it's coming from.
Yeah, you don't
from,
reveal yeah. where it's coming from. It's just this perfect hand lifts up into frame and just holds the whiskey glass.
Yeah.
Just
then she takes her cigarette and put like another hand. Oh, out as the ashtray, and she
yes,
puts it out on the hand.
That's very good. Yeah. That's so good.
Yes, all right.
And there's no
cool.
And there's no reaction from the person. Actually, really silly here.
You just see when it cuts to the Y, you see just one guy biting his fist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's actually what you do. You hard cut to a close up of one guy, be like.
I like it because it's all you do is the hand comes up and snaps like a match for her to light it.
Yes.
And then once she blows it, then yeah, you do later in the scene, she just stubs it out. He's like,
that's very good. Just this like weird amorphous naked man couch.
I think we have our episode title.
That does everything for her. Okay.
All right.
That's really good.
Weird amorphous naked man couch.
Does she right. exit the scene by standing up, or does the couch waddle away with her on it?
Begs the question, why didn't she come in on the couch?
It's a show. It's a show of power. Okay. Right. Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's it. That's the episode, guys. Just picture it in your head. That's the scene. All right. All right. So, okay. So let's beat this out. So yes, you have, they like, I feel like we come in on them busting in, right? Yeah. And then what kind of safe house is this? Yeah. What are we saying? Is this like a warehouse? Whoa. Is this maybe where their staging area for their heist was?
Yeah, probably.
Just so you can see that we can like kind of point to the plans.
I'm just imagining
like
a Fast and the Furious garage.
A garage.
You know,
okay,
those like
chop shop.
Except they don't have a bunch of cars. They have a bunch of
Dominic Toretto's Chuck fucking holding a big old lug wrench in the background.
Yeah. Actually, they walk past Dominic Toretto's place. They go, "What's up, Dom?" And they go, "Hey, man." And they walk into their safe house, is right next door to his safe house. And then it's We Safe House. It's like We Work before Safe House.
We House.
I just want it to be a chop shop, but instead of a chop shop, it's a chip shop, and they just get in French fries.
So yes, they bust in. Whiskey's probably being like, "It's okay, guys, right? It's okay." Somebody tell him it's okay because he's a little kid. It's like, we'll figure this out, right? We're not dead.
What are we going to do?
Tequila is like trying to, I feel like Tequila is trying to stay calm and figure out what his plan is, like trying to take control. Like, don't worry, I'm going to talk to her. We'll figure this out. First thing we got to do is like, you know, let's see what they know or stuff. So he's probably the one that turns on the TV.
Could we do, hear me out. Mm-hmm. Do they have a contingency plan in case the job went south? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine that they all have go bags.
Okay. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
their plan is basically they're gonna
time to go.
The go bag has your passport, it has your new identity, it has your, you know, you're like, or it has where you're gonna go to lay low while the heat blows over.
Here's right? what it is. It's Tequila would hit the safe and then start handing everyone their new identities.
Yes.
Right. You just start tossing passports, like, all right, you're sweet, and then like one's like, Sweden? I'm not Swedish. She's like, listen.
And then Whiskey's like, okay, so which one of you am I going with? It's like, no, we all go separately. He's like, I'm going to Germany by myself. It's like, Whiskey, just freaking, you know, man, the weapon, life of crime, you can do this every once in a while. Just get out. We got to get out of here and lay low.
What are we doing with the news? How is the news a complication, right? Like, is it that they saw gin? So like, I like this idea that they saw gin, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, so like, what does that mean for gin? What does that mean for them?
Maybe the problem is that it points back to Miss Wonderful, because they're more, the stakes are more about them getting killed by her than like getting caught by the cops, because that's why they're leaving, right? They're gonna get out of here before mm-hmm. they can get arrested. It feels like, I don't quite know how, but if on the news they're like, you know, looks like, you know, was it just a bunch of small timers? No, police, you know, because of this blank, seem to point to Miss Wonderful, who has eluded the cops for years or whatever. And it's like, oh, like their mess up is literally putting heat on her, well, which is like more.
What's tough about that is then she would definitely just kill them. Right.
Yeah.
Like
they can't
at that
back
point, you're not like, I want you guys to go steal more money for me and risk getting caught.
That's fair.
Like that's the only tricky thing about that. Cause I feel like in terms of a rhythm, like this is another, how many times does this happen in a movie where like they're all doing something and then someone goes, guys, and then they all turn and they point to the TV where it's like, oh no, something bad's happened. But that's basically the scene I had in my head.
Yeah.
Is that they're about to do something that's like, wait, we got a problem. That old lady saw gin. That's a complication because, and then they're trying to figure out what to do, and then the TV gets turned off, and
it's her.
This wonderful
uh-huh,
skin
uh-huh. on the couch,
uh-huh.
full of naked men, made of naked men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, I mean, I guess that they see his face and they can identify him is pretty bad. Can they identify him? Like, do they know it's Jen?
So that's a question.
Because probably
it feels like
not.
They're looking for him, though.
Yes,
you know what I mean,
Jen's like already solved, and they turn around. He's already shaved his head into like a cool mohawk. Like, nobody's gonna recognize me, and he's bleeding from the other eye, and he's like, I got two scars now and a mohawk. That picture means nothing anymore.
He's getting facially tattooed as we speak.
Either this face tattoo works or I just scarred myself. Either way, it's win-win. My face looks different.
Here's what's tough is that the real turn of, because then whatever conflict you're setting up there,
bullshit.
You're not doing anything
with
it.
The
real turn is she's here. Yes.
I think their goal is to get out of there. To me, this scene was more like somebody, Cognac or somebody, there's like a line beforehand who's like, oh my God, do you think the cops know? Are they going to find us? And it's like, fuck the cops. we have to worry about Miss Wonderful, and then she shows up. It's like that sort of rhythm. It is like, oh my God, we failed. Like, we got to get out of here. Like, here's the passports, et cetera, et cetera. And then Whiskey's like, do you think the cops are going to find us? It's like, yeah, kid, like, we're not worried about the cops.
We're not worried about the cops. Yeah.
They'll put us in prison. Like, you know, Miss Wonderful is going to kill us. Yeah, and then,
the cops, if the cops catch us, we're lucky.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And then knock, knock, it's too late.
Yes.
And it would be more like, we got to get out of here before Miss Wonderful hears about this. And then the news is just evidence that this has already blown up everywhere or whatever. But again, I don't even know if you really need the news.
I mean, we had a big fucking crazy car. Except I love this gag with the old lady giving the picture perfect description of gin. Maybe you can play that. Like, where he's going to go visit his family, right? Like, that's kind of coming up down the pike. That feels like maybe you would do something. Like, again, like, maybe his mom doesn't know he's living this life of crime. And then you would they're all watching the evening news, and it's this fucking getaway heist. And then the old lady.
Oh, that gag.
And then he has to turn the TV off. Like,
okay, that gag's funnier there.
Yeah.
That gag's funnier there. Is that, yes, he comes home to have dinner with his mom, and his mom.
Well, then
like,
his brother can see that he swerved. It's also his brother sees that he swerved to save the old lady.
Okay. So we'll keep that there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later.
Yeah, I feel like the energy of Tequila's like getting passports. Like, all right, we got to fucking scram. And Whiskey's like, oh no, like, I don't want to go to prison. It's like prison. Like, the cops find us, we lucky. We just fucking blew a job for Miss Wonderful, you know?
Okay, I like all that. What's going on for Jin in the scene?
Okay. Jin?
Because he was kind of like, we had a bunt on the last scene because he's like, just woke up, right? Yeah. But like, he's got to be coming. Like, we got to do something with him here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So how does he feel? How do they feel about him?
Yeah, are they angry? Is someone of them angry?
I feel like they would be pissed at Jin, right? And
your one fucking job is to drive us not off a bridge into the water.
Like, that's true.
Yeah.
Would they try to sell him out to Miss Wonderful? Do you know what I mean? Is someone going to be like, it was Jin's fault?
Oh, that'd be a fun start, because again, knowing that, well, this is also going to set up as kind of what that conflict is, because again, we were talking about ahead later, is going to be Jin has to convince them to trust his crazy plan. So knowing one of them, like cognac or brandy or whatever, is like, let's just fucking sell Jin to her. Like, already lets you know that there's again not a lot of trust between
I will also say this is an opportunity for like a good guy Jin moment, which is that he knows it's his fault. Yeah. So is there some way that he is going to accept responsibility for what happened? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Is he also like a moment where it's like, I will fucking fall on my sword for you guys because I'm the one who fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like as far as the kind of, you know, grown ass man thing to do about it. Like
I'm trying to think. It feels like a little, it's more like a defining, that's more like a defining characteristic of his, if we want to do that, than like a growth moment. So it's just whether or not.
Well, hear me out though. Is it like, Miss Wonderful shows up and is like, you guys got to do this job for me or I'm going to fucking kill you. Right. Yeah. Like especially if they're like, oh, well, there's nothing we can do. We don't, but there's no way we can get that much money. And then she's like, I guess I'll just kill all of you. Is Jin the type of guy who would be like, wait, it's my fault, not theirs. Kill me. Right.
I'm thinking
I even like that is if that's his first beat, and then right when she's about to kill him, he's like, it would be a shame if you missed out on our next heist, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be that she's like, wait, what are you talking about? And he pulls.
Yeah,
out
I guess I'm wondering if that just undermines. It's like, what's the scene about? Is the scene about him coming up with something clever to save them, or is the scene about seeing that he is willing to sacrifice himself for his team?
How does he? Okay. Someone should call him out on the fact that it was his fault. So what is his response to being called out?
One of the response would probably be like, we wouldn't be in this fucking situation. Like, the cops wouldn't have been chasing us if you didn't get involved in my fucking family business, assholes. Like, we're on a job. You guys are all unprofessional back there counting money and talking about my mom on the phone, you know, sort of thing. And like, well, we're not the one who threw the phone now. It's like, well, you guys, like, again, that sort of petty fighting. Like, he sees it as like, it's their fault that he got caught up in the car chase in the first place.
Does getting him thrown under the bus... Because again, here's all.
I don't know that they throw him under the bus. Because
I think
ahead.
They need, right? Like, it's like you can't have, like, in a heist movie, you can't have Clooney. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't have everyone just like be like, fuck Clooney right from the
They're
beginning.
They're going to turn on each other immediately.
Yeah, exactly. They need to have a cohesion in order for
there's
this
to be. No,
but it's okay.
A,
but you want to show cracks here because
again, no, but I think there's a difference between them bitching him out, between them bitching him out or them being mad at him and them ratting him out. To the
boss man.
Yes,
it's
yes,
like you get in a fight with your brother, but if you guys break the vase, it's not, oh, you know, my brother.
That's what I was talking about. It's like, I think they are yelling at each other. I don't think they turn. Yes, when Miss Wonderful shows up, I don't think they say kill him instead of.
Yeah. I just think that sets you in the wrong path. All right.
I like him being defensive.
Because as far as he's concerned, real quick, just to be clear, from his point of view, he crash the car, but that action got him into heaven. That is morally like demonstrated as the right move.
So that was, yeah, so that's actually gonna be my next question. Does he say anything like, you know, they're like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, what did you want me to hit that old lady? You know, like,
I think it's like, I had to save that old lady, right? Because he knows it, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to fucking run over an old lady, you know, sort of thing. And then that kind of.
Is he embarrassed to admit that?
Yes, because what would be nice about that is that could be a moment when they're all yelling.
Oh,
here's a way to show that all these people are criminals with hearts of gold, right? They're all yelling at each other, all doing this. There is all. And he's like, what the fuck did he do? He's like, what was I supposed to do? Hit that old lady? And then everybody gets like kind of sheepish and they're like, no. And he's like, okay, like none of them wanted to hit an old lady, you know, sort of thing. And it's like, well, whatever it is.
You have done it? Yeah. You have run over an old lady? Right.
Yeah, and they like, all, no. Shit. Like, you know, there's this question. Beat and the tequila can kind of take the, you know,
yeah,
the,
be like, all right,
identities, here we go.
So look, fighting here is not going to help, right? He's the dad in that moment, like, all right, like, bigger and argue is not gonna fucking get us anywhere, like, identities now, like, let's get out of here before, you know, Miss Wonderful shows up.
And then she says,
Jim, you're Sven Hulbard.
Yeah, I like that they're all just like
all 17
whiskey
guys.
Your new name, Angus McAllister.
Okay, here's the other thing. I love Miss Wonderful so much because not only does she have the naked man couch,
shirtless
man couch.
Oh, well, you know what'd be hard?
There's only two characters in this scene. It is her and the voices of all 17 men in a perfect unison. So whenever they talk, all 17 talk perfectly. They go, Mrs. Wonderful is here to see you, but all 17 say it at the same time. And they walk in. And then when they leave, they go, thank you very much. We'll be with you. Like, she'll contact you shortly about the money. Like, they just talk like simultaneously.
Somehow, like, it can't be a line that they rehearsed before they got in there. Because, like, thank you very much. We're really intrigued to hear about the gold heist you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
All
like a hive
always
mind?
Always talking. Unison.
I was gonna say this would be. I don't think we're gonna do this, but if you wanted to show that she's super hardcore, you'd be at the end of the scene. She's like, "Oh, by the way, I found the old woman that you swerved to avoid. She saw your face, and well, no witnesses, right?" And then you would do like either she's got the old lady and she just executes her in front of them, or she like the implication is very clear that she murdered the old lady.
I feel like if you want to show that she's best, I don't know if she would be like, oh, I know that you saved an old lady to care about her. If anything, you would be more like, oh, and by the way, don't worry about it. I took care of that witness that saw your face. Like, more, it's just like a more matter of fact, like criminal thing. Like, I fucking solved it, as opposed to like, I know you cared about the old lady. I think she's more like, and don't worry, we cleaned up
that
all
old lady who saw your face. Don't worry. But she doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah.
Mamma mia.
Because I bribed her with a day spa. She's got a face mask on.
Yeah.
And then we shot her in the head.
We shot her.
And now that mud bath is more like a blood bath, if you know what I mean.
Because it's a new thing they do. They bathe in the blood of pigs.
Yeah, blood of pigs.
Really, and also, and I killed her.
And by pigs, I mean cops.
Whoa.
Okay.
Which is a species of swan. And it just goes on and on. 4 hours later. This movie sucked.
This movie sucked. It just ended in that scene.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's a scene. He's okay. Well, he's defensive. Okay. No, let's dig in and just touch more with Jin. He's defensive at the beginning. I get it. He's definitely vulnerable and more off the mark. So I like him. I like him admitting that he couldn't have hit the old lady. And then everybody else in the group, like, again, despite these people being criminals and stuff, at the end of the day, like, all of them are the sort of people that can't fault Jin for not hitting an old lady.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, I like these people, right, to a degree. And Jin's defensive. What is going on after that for this moment when she shows up? I guess
something I was gonna say, like, I like the situation as I think it's like, you know, like, you know, where's my fucking money? And then like, oh yeah, it's a where their cops are hauling it out of their friggin' Kowloon Bay. You're gonna have to, you know, wait, make me some more. And they're like, well, we got the heat on us, you know, like, we can't get that much money anyway. It took months to play this together. And it's like, oh, what? You know, you're right. You just convinced me, right?
Yeah.
And then she's going to blow them all away. And then I feel like at some point, yes, Jin realizes, wait a second, if I'm going to die, am I going to go just back to heaven? And then that gets, I think you would have some sort of trigger line that gets him thinking about what happened to him. And then it would be the moment that he, and then he also reaches into his pocket and his eyes go wide. And then you have the kind of moment where he,
yes. And it kind of, yes. Could you even, if you want to give him a little bit of like a, not necessarily sacrificial moment, but you could do, does she decide just to kill Tequila, Because you could say, you know what, you're right, it's all your fault. And they pull a gun on Tequila, and it looks like your boy, you know, looks like your team's gonna have to do it without you, you know. And then they're gonna pull the trigger.
I think it's a problem in leadership. Oh, yes. I like that.
He steps forward, like in front of him, mm-hmm. and being like, I know where it is, but I can't do this without Tequila. And then you see that he saves Tequila. Or is it better if he just saves all their own skins?
There's something I like about it. This feels more specific.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely like, I'm not going to believe that she's going to kill everyone. Yeah. Right. But like, as the audience member, you could buy that she's going to kill Tequila.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're going
to
be like,
his mentor's going to die. And now he's going to have to, you know, lead this crew on the right, on his own or whatever. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. And then after it's done, everybody's like, we're getting out of here. Like, again, after this moment, everybody's plan is to fucking flee the country because they all know they can't get $10 million in a week.
Well, yeah. I think the scene ends. Like, so what are we going to do? And then pushes and he's, we're going to rob heaven. It just cuts to everyone running from the safe house. He's like, come back.
It cuts to Rob Heaven. And when he says that, a title slam of Heaven Heist appears right over his face. And then you zoom out, but the title is still in 3D space there. And everybody starts running like, oh, hell no, this is stupid. And then the title sequence just keeps going as people are just running around. Be like, I'm getting the hell out of here. They're tripping over the credits.
They try to open the door, but then in the next shot, it says directed by Freddie Wong and Matt Arnold. It's jamming the door shut.
Like, who are these assholes?
Want to be in your movie.
Some assholes block the door.
All right. I think we got enough to start writing the scene.
All right. Yeah, I think so.
Interior garage.
Cool garage.
Nights. Cool garage hideout.
Cool garage safe house.
Early night.
Oh my God. Shut up.
Like sun, moonlight coming in through the windows.
That wouldn't be early night.
That's like dead
moonlight. Man.
You have moonlight.
What are you talking?
Oh boy.
You guys have seen the moon during the day, right?
Yeah, but you don't have moonlight as a lighting source if the sun is still out.
There's a strip club across the street called The Moon. Uh-huh. And it's a little light from there. Like,
this is just the complex
billboard
of
for the movie
man.
Moonlight across the street.
They're firmly setting the timeline of this movie.
No, Moon. The movie Moon.
Well, go ahead and keep going.
Okay. Interior garage hideout night. What is that garage door called? Like the rolly door? Like one of those
roll-up door.
Yeah,
roll up.
It would be a roll-up door,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
As our crew rushes into sparse
stray cats scatter.
A retinue of stray cats garage. Disperse in the darkness.
Maybe they're splitting up whatever little wet bills they have.
Yeah. So it'd be cognac. Because we saw them stuffing bills into a duffel bag, right?
Yeah, so they probably have
cognac.
Essentially, Tequila's going to give them each a couple $100 and an ID. And then they have little go bags or whatever. And it's like, all right. ID bag and then probably like a rendezvous point a month from now or something to meet up again after things.
Why would they meet up again?
I guess they would never see. Oh, I guess it's been good. Nice knowing you all. That's probably what it is.
Yeah. I feel like this is it's like heat, right? If you get a walk away in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You spot the heat coming around the corner.
Okay. So Tequila and Brandy carrying gin, set him down in a chair. Cognac slams a duffel bag on the table. So then it would be like, well, here it is. The fruits of our labor. Come get your cut. And then what Tequila is, I don't know. What are we doing?
Tequila's already in action mode. And I think he walked away to some, you know, whatever cabinet and he's pulled out. He has a bunch of little, you know, passport looking things. Which are passports.
These passport-looking booklets are, in fact,
I think it was like a little folder with like a few things in it, like a passport, but like what else would it be? It's like, here's
passports and cash. That's what you need, man.
Cash and like a ticket or whatever. And it's like, here's yours.
Everybody's envelopes. Each envelope is, right, it's like, okay, here's your new identities.
Yeah. Who starts the jab? How does this argument start?
Probably Brandy. I think Brandy, she's looking through her money, right? Brandy looks through her
$200
pile of soggy.
Actually, I feel like the way it starts, the argument starts.
She's going to be like, nice going, Jin, right?
Or I think she takes Jin's money. She's like, four ways. Don't you mean five? Fuck you, Jin.
Okay, yeah. 200 lousy bucks a piece.
Why, that won't even get you a decent lunch.
I like them arguing about the cut. I like that. All right, so 200 lousy bucks a piece. This is it. I'm taking some of Jin's cut. That's not going to happen.
If I remember correctly, your job was to drive us out of there, not drive us into the water. So I think it's pretty. And then it's like, oh. Because, yeah, then he's like, well, if you guys, I'm sorry, why were the cops chasing us in the first place?
Because you threw a phone at them.
Because you guys were fucking, because you didn't answer your, what sort of son doesn't answer his mom's phone call? It is objectively Jin's fault. But that's okay, Jin's defensive. He's mad at them getting involved in his business.
Okay, so listen, asshole, your job was to drive us away, not into the water. Right. Then it feels like he would have a retort to that, right?
You shot a cop. No, that was whiskey. I was just putting the bag away. Besides, Jin's the one who threw the phone at the cop.
Okay, yeah. It's you shot at a cop, right? She didn't, though. She was hiding the gun,
yeah,
right?
But it's shot at the cop was walking to the passenger door, and then the door exploded with a shotgun blast at the cop.
I think just be like, oh, I'm sorry, did I shoot a shotgun?
Yeah. Did you drive us away? Did you drive us away, not into the water? Yeah, after you blew off the door,
you shot at a cop.
That was whiskey, not me. I was just trying to put the money away.
Why did we bring this little kid along?
Hired this kid anyway. Right.
Classic. How long do you write an argument in a script before you go into it? And then they scream at each other.
Yeah. And then they devolve into scream. I will say another Frasier thing. Frasier does the best. Everyone devolves into yelling at each other arguments. And you can always tell the exact moment where they stopped writing it and they start improvising. It's very funny. Snitch and all.
Okay. When you get to the moment, I was trying to think of the specific moment where he says that, what was I supposed to do, run over an old lady? Because I feel like everybody's all sheepish. And then Tequila, who's above all this bullshit, uses that silence to walk in with the cards, being like, no, none of us here would have ran over an old lady. Like, IDs, passports, like sort of thing. Like, he kind of takes that moment to.
Oh, yeah. We want to get to the.
Yeah. Or do we need it? But I kind of like that.
Oh, you're right.
But maybe we don't need it, because you could just do fucking Tequila comes in. It's like, quiet, take these.
Besides, it was Jin's fault. He drove the car into the, right?
Yeah, he drove the car.
Right? Or is this boring?
Is this old lady pivot mean anything?
I like it. I like them getting on board.
Okay. And then so then before that, somebody's like, you're the one who fucking drove us into the bay.
So yes. You want it to culminate in that. So that's not going to happen. Yeah, come on, Brandy, we're team heroes. And I say we split Jin's cut. That's not going to happen. Listen, asshole, we're only in this mess because you threw your phone at a cop. Oh, so I threw a phone? You shot her with a shotgun. I shot at her. And then I was like, maybe I don't think we need this. This is the kind of shit I don't think we need. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel
I was just going through the whole scene again. You know what I mean?
That's what people love. People love hearing people talk about the scene you just saw. If you wanted to feel like a dog pile, it would be Brandy being like, your one job is to drive us away from danger. And the other one's like, yeah, what the hell? Didn't you like plan ahead of time? Don't you know exit plans? And Whiskey's like, yeah, like, oh, I can tell you where we weren't supposed to go, in the fucking water.
Yeah,
somebody's
yeah.
like that. Then he's like, okay, what is that supposed to do? Run over a goddamn old lady, huh? But it seems kind of like their point would be like, no, just don't drive into the water.
We'll be there. Yeah, are they? I think to me, it's less that they're annoyed at him for dodging an old lady, because obviously, right, them running over some pedestrian doesn't make them look good. That's more crime, right? For them, to me, I think the things that you would get pissed at him for is number one, throwing the phone. And then number two, you're supposed to keep in control of the car, right? That's some 101 shit. Like, you should be able to dodge stuff and just keep the car in control. So he lost control of the car. That's the thing that you would pile on someone for, right? It's not the act of dodging an old lady. It's the act of, aren't you supposed to be a fucking pro driver? The marksman missing their shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I think we just, you cut straight to the point, right? Which is, rather than do all this shit about the phone, it's just, listen, asshole, getaway driver's supposed to get us away, not into more trouble. What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know? What would his response to this be? Just start there, right?
Listen, asshole, getaway drivers are supposed to get us away, not drive us into the ocean. Part of it is, like, I feel like the idea of just swerving away, something I thought were, like, again, a little bit more melodramatic, but, like, if it was specifically like something was going to hit the old lady, so he like swerved,
saved her because
again, I was thinking about cartoony or even like premium rush, like slow motion mode, like he is driving in because of all this chaos. It is like, you know,
she's dead if I do
there's like a refrigerator, again, stupid version, there's like a grand piano rolling down a thing and he sees it and then he swerves to crash into the grand piano, which careens him, and he's like made an explicit choice to like save this old lady. It could be one, he's embarrassed about that fact, that's what he did, and nobody else could maybe understand what he did. They were just like, why the fuck did he just swerve out of the way? He doesn't want to say what he did. He's just like, you know, and he's like, I didn't have a choice. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, whatever, don't worry about, like, sort of thing.
I see.
It's more explicit, okay, that so he did an action to save somebody.
And then he doesn't, and then the moment you're feeling, he doesn't have the courage to admit that he did a good thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That I like. Okay.
So we can go back and retcon.
Okay, well, what would that be? And then we'll rack on it when we go to the draft.
It would be, so people are running screaming because, again, they've maybe even circled around the block a few times during this fight or whatever, or during this car chase. But it'd be like, as he's driving, there's like, again, maybe there's like an old lady in a cafe or she's crossing
the
street.
What it would be during the chase? Because he lands on the other side of the street, right?
Yeah.
And then, except it's tough because it's like, I mean, right now it definitely plays as like he rounds the corner and, oh, shit, there's this old lady.
Yeah.
Right.
To me, the closest thing is something that is barreling towards the lady that he collides into to stop it, that sends their car flying into the bay.
And it's like something we see him, that's like the thing that's going to hit her is something that he caused to happen.
Yeah, that we would have just planted previously in the car chase. If it was they drove through a fucking construction yard and then a big wrecking ball let loose and started rolling down the hill, and then as they turn around, all of a sudden that wrecking ball is colliding, you know, heading down where they.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. Is it like as he's landing, like someone dives out of the way and like they're, you know, they're
their food cart or
their
something.
Food cart goes tumbling down the hill. Okay. So basically, yeah, we will, when we go back through for our rewrite pass, we will make tweaks to the original action scene, the original getaway chase scene.
So to be clear, is the idea then in that previous scene, Jin takes more of a proactive thing that either the people are, you know, his teammates are confused by or don't know why he did it, and so that's what they're kind of dogpiling on him for?
I think, yes, the idea here is that from their perspective, they just got away with this heist, and then he ruined it by wrecking the car. What they don't know is that he wrecked the car to save an old lady.
Yes, I think to what you said, I think that's the right emotion to play, which is the inside of character is that Jin is embarrassed and doesn't want to reveal that he messed this up to do something good, which says a lot about. So I like that. I think that's the right thing.
So listen, asshole, getaway driver is supposed to get us away, not drive us into the ocean. What the hell happened? That's a good point, dude. Why did you swerve? It's like, I didn't have a choice. I don't know. What the hell happened? I'm trying to think, what the hell happened? And then, yes, it feels like there's a, you know, is it like, you know, he gets a, what is this beat?
What are you talking about? We had a clear getaway. You drove into that vehicle. What the hell? Like, your one job. I think he was trying to get us caught. Maybe he works for the cops.
Oh, that's kind of fun. We had a clear.
Oh, yeah. Like Brandy gets all up in his face.
Bullshit. We had a clear exit.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a getaway driver, but usually you avoid obstacles, right? Oh, very fucking funny.
Well, no, then it's just why, right?
Yeah,
and why? It's just.
Yeah.
Then he would be like, you know, you forget it. Take the stupid money. I don't care. Right.
Yeah.
Then you swerved into a food cart. Why?
Yeah. Because then I feel like, by the way, it just feels like when he's entered into heaven, you can have that guy be explicit and be like, you know, because he's watching his life of crime. He's like, he's getting ready to press the button. He'd be like, whew, blew your whole score to save an old lady. All right. Got you just over the mark.
Yeah.
Make it explicit. Like you blew your score.
That actually takes care of all your crimes.
We're a big fan of last minute redemption stories here in heaven. So absolutely love it.
You read the good book, full of them.
Forget it. Take my stupid cut. Yeah. Right. Take my stupid. Enjoy your $40. All right. So tequila here. Anything he has, what's in there? Like
passport, tickets, new IDs. And a little note from me saying thanks for everything you guys have done. It's been a pleasure. Now let's get the hell out of here.
$20 Amazon gift card. You'll want to lay low for the first 3 years. I'm going to go all the way to Norway to hide from the cops?
It's not the cops you got to be worried about.
we blew a deal for Miss Wonderful. And she'll go to the ends of the earth to make sure we pay. And then you hear from behind, luckily I don't have to go that far. And they turn around, oh, it's her. She's just standing there.
Dicks. We haven't, mentioned Mrs. Wonderful yet, right?
Ooh, have we?
We've mentioned her on the podcast. We haven't mentioned her in the script. So I don't think you can just say we have to hide from Mrs. Wonderful, because no, everyone's gonna be like, who the fuck is that? You kind of have to explain that Mrs. Wonderful is the one who paid for the job.
They have to explain it too. Maybe the way to do this as we're writing linearly.
Jin has managed to.
No, they don't know that tequila was funded by Miss Wonderful. What do you mean, tequila? You guys think I had the money to put this job together myself? And then Brandy's like, oh shit. And then it's like, this was Miss Wonderful's deal.
Oh, I see what you mean. So
this,
like,
was a deal. I had to pitch this. I got seed funding.
So it's a lot to explain.
Yeah, shit. It's actually a big mouthful just right before she comes in. It's like, okay, so real quick, there's a big scary gangster that we all owe money to now. Like, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Because we didn't say it right before they rob.
This is the part of writing that's like this is where Bill and Ted, where they're like, trash can. Remember a trash can. Yeah, we kept being like, oh, we'll plant her in the next scene. And now we have to explain who she is immediately.
Now we
right
have to reap what we've sown.
God damn it.
You know what the problem is? We didn't sow anything. Now we're reaping it.
It's the tough thing is it's like they all know who they work for. It's not like you fucking see a bunch of stormtroopers go, remember, we work for Darth Vader.
Before Darth Vader just shows up and you're like, he's a bad guy. I mean, it could be
we're not running from the cops. We ain't hiding from the cops. Her. We're running from her. Okay. Who? Her? You think we had the money to put this job together? Yeah, it's that they all knew, right? And Whiskey didn't know, right?
Yeah. It's just that. Whiskey's, as you know, Whiskey.
As you know,
007, we took a job from an Asian mobster.
Bear with me. What I was saying is, you don't need that. It's like, we're not running from the cops. Boom. Scary lady shows up. And then her first line system was like, you thought, like, again, because the conversation's going to be, her conversation with them is, you thought you could take my 100 grand and not pay me back? You know, it's like,
I see.
You're essentially getting it from, it's like, you get it. You're getting it from what she's saying.
The cops are not running from the cops, kid. We're running from her. Her? Her. And then, yes, cognac, fear on her face, her.
Yeah.
That's cool, yes. Yeah. And then you just whoosh over, and then a door, and then there's a dude in the door. And like, what? And then, like, all these dudes come, 17 dudes come in.
Yes.
Her. Everyone looks up and gasps as they see a tough, burly gangster dude. And then he steps to the side, revealing another dude behind him. And then one by one, they all pour into this room.
Yes, I think they all pour
into this room. And then the last one in is her, right? Is that the kind of idea?
Yes. I think they should make the couch and be all ready for her when she finally comes in.
They lock arms, bend over, and somehow incredibly form a human sofa.
Human armchair, maybe?
No, it's like a lounging sofa.
Human so lounge.
Lay out like a Greek goddess.
Human yes. Lounging sofa. A six.
And then one man forms an ottoman, and he's already got a bowl of grapes on his back somehow.
Rips off his shirt.
They form a human Victorian era love seat.
No.
It's a chaise.
Chaise, there we go. Yes. That's the word. Not a Victorian love seat. Or is it love seats for two people? A chaise is for one person, Freddie. Know your furniture.
Not the way I use that love seat.
Freddie has self-love seats.
You're sitting in one
right
now.
I want to quit the podcast.
Freddie goes to a nice furniture place. It's like, I need a love seat for one, please.
Hi, Design Within Reach. Do you have a love seat
for one?
That's
the sequel to Lizzo's the primary song, I Am My Own Soulmate, is I Am My Own Love Seat.
My priorities are, I would like it to be blue and stain-proof, please.
Bad boys over here. All right. Older lady in a badass outfit. We should describe. She have like a leopard print jacket on. Like, what's her old lady style?
Ooh.
Does she have like, is this like she got them shades on? Is she got
them big grandma
like
shades?
A big grandma shades? Like, what's it's like? It's like, what's like a scary grandma?
And it definitely feels like she wears her money. Like, if she's making a display of all the men that she has with her, like, she's clearly somebody who likes to show off her money.
Yes.
And that's where her power comes from.
Like, mink coats are classic. Yeah. And that's like kind of like the gangsters.
Neiman Marcus, what you got for me on the mink coat front? $82,000.
Mink coat and gaudy jewelry or gaudy and gaudy designer shades.
And bling ass. Iced blinged out. To mine. Full on iced.
Yeah, I think lots of jewelry, right?
Yeah.
Boys and girls. I don't know. Miss Wonderful. Okay, so this is her first line after this great entrance. So what's she going to say? You guys planning a vacation? Because they all got their passports.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no. And then they all hide their passports.
Maybe she just says nothing.
Just like let
she just sits there and sips her thing and starts eating grapes. And then he's like, Ms. Wonderful, I'm so sorry. Like, the business rule, like, whoever speaks first loses.
One of those.
She's just so chill. It's like she just comes in and sits down and makes herself comfortable in their place. And he's like, Ms. Wonderful, I'm so sorry.
Ms. Wonderful, I'm so sorry.
I promise you'll get your investment back. And, like, he can essentially ramble and say who she is. And then when it's over, she goes... And then she's be like, I think I'm going to kill you.
Well, we need her to say, do we want her to say, like, that they have X amount of time to make their money back? And then he says,
that's not possible.
Right?
Or is that when Jin suggests that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jin suggests he saves them. Be like, what if I told you I could get this back to you then? It's like, oh, yeah. It's like,
she listens to Tequila rant. Mm-hmm. They hand her her designer gun. And she cocks it. She hasn't said anything yet. And she points it at Tequila. And she goes, the rest of you are going to have 1 month to give me my money back.
Well, then what does Tequila, what does Tequila do? Because in that case, if there's, what is he, of course, there's nothing for him to interrupt her with. It just feels a little like I don't know. The negotiation feels a little limp if it's not like she's about to kill them all.
Yeah, maybe it's back to just.
Does she need to take something from them? Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Is it just like she shows up, threatens them, and it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it limp because it's not enough?
No, because you're establishing her power, you know?
She'd make a sofa out of dudes. I mean, who could do that?
Okay, so I like Tequila. Okay, so just to walk through the beats of it, Tequila starts blubbering, right? He's the first to break, and he's like, you know, I'm sorry, we ran into complications, but we can get you your money back, I promise, right? You know, with interest.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a month. Give us 1 month. We can put together a score that'll make this worth it, right?
Yes.
Maybe
she doesn't need to explicitly say, just keep it vague. She whispers to the guy and hasn't said anything, and then they bring her gun and she pulls and she points it at Tequila, and then like that's it. Like, you don't know, like, as far as we know, like, she's definitely gonna shoot Tequila. She hasn't given an answer in terms of what else it is, because she could be like, I don't think you can, again, he says, we can get you your money back, I promise, like, you know, blah 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 blah, and then she goes and then she like whispers, and then she gets a gun, she points the trigger, she's like, I don't believe you, and then she cocks the gun back, and then that's when Jin steps forward. He's like, he's telling the truth. He flips the coin. He's like, we can get you more where that comes from. We can double your money, we promise. $10 million.
What's the consequence if they fail, right? Like, it feels like it needs to be a real consequence there, because if they're already like, we'll kill you.
But we've already talked about this. It's like, it's the added juice is like, it's not gonna be a month, it's a week, and like, yes, like, whatever, like,
you just know that they're, yeah, she's,
yeah,
just,
you delay, there's
my,
nothing,
my point
worse.
Is you want to show that she doesn't lose control of the situation, right? Like, you want to, right, like, she needs to have the last word. That's kind of what's important to me there.
Yeah, she's like, know? I want you, give me $20 million in a week or you're dead. It's gonna be a lot worse than a bullet or whatever. Like,
hear me out just for a second. He starts blubbering and he's like, blah, 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 blah. It ends with, I can get you your money. We just need that. We just need a month. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she looks at him and she says, a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, like, that's not enough time. We need more time to put that. There's just not enough time to get that kind of money. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what if it's this?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's, she smiles and then she says, where's my money? And
mm-hmm.
He starts saying, look, there was, we ran into some trouble, you know, like, bad shit happens. Like, the, you know, we fought like hell, but we weren't able to make the job, you know, work or whatever. And then she just says, where's my money? She just asks the mm-hmm. question again. Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, we can get you the money. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, like, yeah, we'll find a score. We'll put something together. You know me, like, we go back 20 years. You raised me as a kid. You know, I'm tough. Like, I can figure it out. And she goes, where's my money? And then he doesn't have an answer. Right. Cause mm-hmm. he doesn't have it. Right. He doesn't want to say, I don't have it. Cause he knows when he says that, she's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then she, you know, snaps her fingers and they all draw their guns out to execute them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jin blurts out his thing.
Yeah, I like that. I think that works.
Does that work?
Yeah, it's a little menacing.
Yeah, just,
you just get it. It feels like each time she asks that, the gun advances, right? Yeah. No gun at first. Second, like, she grabs a gun. Where's my money? Hammer back.
Well, this I think the next one is she just snaps and then someone hands her a little clutch, like a little purse. No. And then she pops it open and then she says, where's my money? And he knows what's in that purse. You know, and then she pulls out a bedazzled jewel encrusted gat.
It's a giant red envelope with a gat. I have a gift for you.
She actually, she from her little purse, she pulls out a poncho, and then everybody else pulls out guns, and she's like, "I don't like to get messy
because this is some designer shit.
This is gonna fucking bloody in here."
Oh, that's cool. Or again, it's just like two guys just put a trash bag down behind Tequila to like catch
really
his brains
good.
Or whatever when he's gonna get blown away.
That's pretty messed up.
Well, no, they don't care about everyone else. They just care about making sure she doesn't get hurt or get stuff on her.
But although,
so yes, them putting a poncho on her is pretty good. Like a clear plastic tarp.
It's that American Psycho kind of.
He's like, is she the type of person to shoot someone herself?
No.
But I kind of want that gun out, right?
Yeah. She just does finger guns, and then there's another guy who pulls the gun out.
That's great. She just pulls out finger guns and then everyone draws their guns.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all looking at her.
And then she pulls her
like finger. Under her poncho.
No, she just pulls out one gun and then they all pull out guns. And then she does a little cock. She like cocks her finger gun and then everybody cocks their gun.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
I like her putting out a finger gun. I think that's great. All right. Okay. We need to figure out how Tequila finds his quarter, finds this coin.
Okay. So while he's witnessing, you know, these guns getting pulled out and whatnot, what makes him? I don't think they'd be like.
I actually kind of wonder if you can play it in the passports beat.
Like he sees it and he's like, oh shit, what's this?
Oh, like
he's
like, stuffs his envelope in his
pocket.
You could do it there. I could also see, forget it, take my stupid cut, enjoy your $50. Here, you want my change too? And then he like pulls his money out and slaps it on the table and he sees this coin and he stares at it. And then Tequila's like, no one's taking anyone's cut. And then while that next little bit of the scene is playing, Jin's like staring at that coin.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck? No way.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Take my change too. That's good.
It also lets that argument kind of come to something.
Yeah.
So she flips the coin back to Jin. You got 1 week. How does she get out of the scene?
What's the coolest way for her to get out of the scene? They go, 1 week's not nearly, and her and all the guys are gone. You've never seen that.
That's not enough.
That's what that feels like.
So that's what that feels like. Just a full frontal Batman. I kind of like that. Jin catches the coin, but they're all gone.
They all just disappear. I mean, that's so cheap. That happens all the time.
Yeah, 1 week.
1 week.
Do not disappoint me. And then she just slithers away on her men.
The best, but yeah, I mean, they can walk away.
Do the other guys carry the man couch out?
That's so weird.
I kind of like the man couch like walking, but I could see also that, I guess. It's like
the man couch walking out is pretty.
I think the man couch just walks.
You've got 1 week.
Boys, we got business to attend to elsewhere.
Got 1 week.
You got 1 week. Now come on, boys. Mama's horny. And the couch walks out of there and they all go, they all, Tequila shivers.
Got 1 week. See you then. And then she snaps her fingers.
Yeah.
And then, I like see you then.
How about she just giggles as she walks away? Like she's just having a fun time riding on this man sofa.
I like her giggling. Yeah.
As they turn the corner, she just goes, woo-hoo. I will say, if nothing else, we have definitely, after this scene, people will forget about talking dogs.
As if this movie could get any stupider. All right. And the crew breathes a sigh of relief. I knew you had something up your sleeve.
Where do you get that gold, Jin?
You cutting us in, right?
So it's the job. Bank vault.
What is it? Coin collector?
Bank vault. Rich guy.
Yeah, where do you get that? And then, where did you get that?
Jin takes a deep breath.
He either says heaven or he's like, so come on, you can tell us where did you get that coin? And then he goes, and then that would be the end of the scene. And then he would hard cut to be like, are you fucking?
I like him saying we're going to rob heaven and then we're going to steal it from heaven. Cut to
next scene.
And that's the scene.
That's the scene.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, my God. I'm going to pass out.
Big one.
That's a honker, dude. That was
chunky boys.
It's like 3-4. It might be the longest scene.
It's 4 pages and change.
Good God. Let's give this bad boy a good old read right now.
Wait, I'm just kidding. We gotta take a break. It's very hot in here. We'll be back in just a second. Hang tight. When we come back, scene 9 of Heaven Heist.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Courtney Enlow.
I'm Brent Black, and we're the hosts of Trends Like These.
Trends Like These is an internet news show where we take the stories trending on social media and go beyond the headlines.
We'll give you the actual facts of the story and not just the knee-jerk reactions.
Plus, we end every episode with a ray of hope that we call the Wi-Fi of the week.
So join us every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trends Like These, real-life friends talking internet trends.
Interior, garage, hideout, night. A roll-up door slides open as our crew rushes into a sparse garage-slash-safe house. Tequila and Brandy, carrying gin, set him down in a chair. Cognac slams a duffel bag on the table and starts laying out stacks of wet cash. Whiskey paces back and forth, hyperventilating into a paper bag.
Well, here it is. Fruits of our labor. Come get your money.
Brandy looks through her tiny pile of soggy money and scoffs.
This is it? $200 a piece? I say we split Jin's cut.
She reaches for Jin's pile. He springs to life and snatches his cash.
That's not gonna happen.
Listen, asshole. Getaway drivers are supposed to get us away, not drive us into the ocean. She's got a point, dude. What happened?
I didn't have a choice.
Bullshit. We had a clear exit, and then you swerved into a food cart. Why?
Jin looks away, embarrassed and vulnerable.
Forget it. Take my stupid cut. Enjoy your $50. Here, take my change too.
Jin digs into his pockets and slaps a handful of change onto the table. As he lifts his hand, he double takes. Sitting on the table amidst his pile of coins is a solid gold medallion. Jin's eyes go wide. He covers the coin in an instant before anyone else sees.
No one's taking anybody's cut.
Tequila returns to the table with 5 brown envelopes. He passes them out to the crew.
Here, passports, plane tickets, new IDs. You'll want to lay low for the first 3 years.
Meanwhile, an awestruck Jin discreetly examines the gold coin. Sure enough, engraved on the front is a picture of the Celestial Bank of Heaven. He stares at the coin, dumbfounded, tuning out the world around him. He snaps back to attention when Tequila hands him his envelope. Whiskey frowns as he examines his new passport.
Olaf Torgerson? I gotta go all the way to Norway to run from the cops?
Tequila gives Whiskey a fatherly pat on the shoulder.
We ain't hiding from the cops, kid. We're running from her.
Her?
Brandy sees something behind them and her face goes pale. She raises a trembling finger and points at
her.
Everyone looks up and gasps as they see a tough, hunky gangster in a sharp suit standing in the doorway. He nods at Tequila, then steps aside, revealing another tough, hunky gangster dude right behind him. Dude number 2 nods, steps to the side, revealing hunky gangster dude number 3. One by one, we continue in this fashion until 17 hunky gangsters fill the room. They stand in a perfect line, arms folded, glowering in silence at our terrified crew. A tense beat. Then, the 5 centermost hunks rip off their shirts, revealing rippling tattooed bods. With the fluid grace of a Cirque du Soleil troupe, they lock arms, bend over, and somehow, incredibly, form a human chaise sofa. A 6th hunk rips off his shirt and drops to all 4s, forming an ottoman upon which another hunk puts a bowl of grapes. A badass old lady in a mink coat and enough jewelry to sink a pirate ship steps into the room. This is Miss Wonderful. Everybody but Whiskey freezes in silent terror as Miss Wonderful takes a seat on her buff man sofa, kicks up her feet, and smiles.
Where's my money?
Tequila rushes forward and drops to his knees.
Miss Wonderful, please forgive us. There was a complication on the job. These things happen, you know, even to a seasoned crew. It's just bad luck is all.
Miss Wonderful sighs. She glances up to a retinue of hunks. In an instant, 2 hunks unfurl a clear plastic poncho and place it ever so gently around her. Tequila's eyes go wide.
Where's my money?
We can pay you back. We just need time. A month or 2 to scout out a new job, but we'll pay back every cent we owe, plus interest.
Miss Wonderful frowns. Under her clear poncho, she makes a finger gun and aims it at Tequila. In the blink of an eye, every hunk draws a pistol from his jacket and aims at our crew. They tremble.
Where's my money?
Tears stream down Tequila's face. Jin glances at Miss Wonderful's goons, then looks down at the gold coin in his hand, his mind racing.
We don't have it.
Miss Wonderful cocks her finger gun by pulling back her thumb. The hunks cock their pistols. Our crew cowers. Jin closes his eyes, a look of resignation on his face.
In that case, you're fired.
I can get you double.
All eyes turn to Jin. Miss Wonderful looks up, confused. She cups a hand around her ear.
What's that, young man?
Jin flips the gold medallion across the room to her. Miss Wonderful catches it and examines the coin.
I've been putting a job together on the side. Gold heist. 20 million easy. But it's a 5-man job. We'll need a month to pull it off.
Miss Wonderful raises the coin. A hot man's mouth comes into frame and nibbles at it, like the scene in Alien, but it's a man and the gold coin is Ripley. Freddie wrote that line. He nods to Miss Wonderful. It's real.
Where's the gold?
Jin draws up as much cool as he can muster.
I tell you, but then I'd have to shoot you.
Miss Wonderful's hunk army tenses up, their guns all lock onto Jin. Miss Wonderful gives a wry grin. She gives the coin a final look, then flips it back to Jin.
You've got 1 week. See you then.
Miss Wonderful snaps her fingers. The man sofa buckles.
That's the first time I've heard this sentence ever.
The man sofa bucks to life as the men comprising it slowly scoot out the door. Miss Wonderful giggles with delight. The last hunk out closes the door behind them and the crew breathes with a sigh of relief.
It's definitely the last hunk is part of the couch. It's just like a hand comes out of the couch and closes the door behind them.
Yes, that thing Matt said.
Gold Heist, you slick bastard. You've been holding out on us.
Jin holds up the coin and gives a what have I gotten myself into gulp. Brandy takes the coin and examines it. The crew gathers round her, intrigued.
So where's the loot? Bank vault? Coin collection?
Yeah, Jin, tell us, what's the job?
Jin takes out a cigarette, lights up, and takes a big, long drag.
Finally.
He exhales a plume of smoke, then looks them dead in the eyes.
We're gonna rob the Bank of Heaven.
Cut to exterior safe house night. Whiskey, brandy, tequila, and cognac angrily storm out of the safe house. Jin follows them, pleading.
Guys, wait, I'm serious.
Well, that's the groundwork for the movie, basically, right? That's like, this is the big moment. This is it.
I like that when we shifted format secretly, we're like, guys, this will be easier than doing normal
wrong.
Story break.
It's
only one story and we don't have to do a fucking trailer bit at the end. And it's like, oh my God, this is brutal.
No, this is way harder.
It's way harder.
And it's only
but we toil
see how
for
we sweat for you, story break audience. See how we toil over a hot script,
literally and figuratively, as there's no AC.
So
on
you
right
can
now.
Enjoy the movie. So you can enjoy a movie the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Listening to writers write their first draft one scene at a time over the course of a year. That's how we all wish to enjoy our movies.
Will, what about that fnart,
dude? We got. Some off the chain. We got something very
OTC.
We got something very, very special.
OTCFA.
Very excited to share with all of you, which is that a boy, a good friend, Robbie Alton, made a new song for us. A new banger. A new song from our terrific Bonkers Flat Earth episode.
Ah.
This features Jenna Boena 715 on Twitter. It's called If Story Breaks Flat Earth Were a Musical. Ballad of the Necro Sun. Flat Earth was definitely one of our most buck wild episodes. So thanks very much to Robbie Alton. I think maybe we can close out.
I think we got to close out with that one.
With a little bit, a little taste of the Ballad of the Necro Sun. So thanks very much to Robbie. Thanks to Jenna for lending her pipes to this fucking kick-ass track.
Yeah, let's do a quick thank you, of course, to MaximumFun.org, the podcast with the most cast this of them all. Kevin, MaximumFun.org for all your podcasting needs. We're on Twitter at RJStoryBreak, Facebook group at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. And that's going to do it for us as the dulcet tones of this cool song fades in up under me. Maybe or maybe not. If there's no intro, then it wouldn't happen. My name is Freddie Wong.
Oh, right. I'm Will Campos.
And Matt Arnold's going to take us out.
And I'm Matt Arnold, and I am going to make a joke over this good song.
Okay.
See you next week, guys.
But the time wasn't yet ours to go. So we line, and wait. On the precipice of blistered rage. For the world to turn with its fate, so we can finally escape from our cage. And the daybreak will set the stage. The age of fire to claim.
macho man to the top rope. The flying elbow, the cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Thursdays on Maximum Fun. Ooh.